personally, I don't know if there could be a more appropriate song before I share this morning. Number one, I'm glad to be almost 70, and I'm glad that there's nobody in this church today that says, "Oh, there's little Danny Krog," and, like they used to when I'd come back in different days. I'm on, brother.
No, you're not on.
Now I'm on?
No, you're not.
Now I'm on.
There you go. I told you I was almost 70. Technology is crazy. No. But in all candor, it's such a joy to be here today. I've grown to love your pastor. I did not know Bill, but we've become friends through Facebook. And, well, actually, I'd write him a lot. I write texts. And I appreciate the fact that he is a man of God, and he is a guy who knows his place in history and time, and I'm grateful for that. I'm blessed today. A 70-year-old man doesn't usually have his mother still alive, and I'm incredibly, incredibly blessed. I know that many of you are going like, "I wish I had that blessing," and I know you would and do, and the thing that I'm so grateful for is Mom is not only alive, she's healthy. And a prayer that I pray for my family, and it might be helpful for you, as I pray, Lord, let us live until we don't. Let us live every day until we don't. And, you know, that way one day we'll get a call and Mama's gone, Daddy's gone, whoever it is, brother, sister. But if we're living our life to the fullest, it's okay. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We're here for a season and our time is brief. And for me to look out today, and this doesn't happen at home because my kids are not all at home. They're in different places, and they go hear good preachers preach. And, you know, they do different things and stuff like that. But for me to have 19 family members here today, and that's just my immediate family, with my boys and their wives and my grandchildren and my mom, and then to have extended family with my sisters and their families. So what a joy to be here today. But it's a joy to be with you. I'm glad to be here with Trinity Church today. And so I want to just share a few words with you from God's Word today that He's put on my heart. The COVID pandemic reveals something that no other diagnostic tool was able to do. It revealed the real problem in the church in America. See, our problem is not temptation from the world. Now, we like to say that. It's all out here. We like to think that perhaps it's the attacks by the secularists. They're just wanting to take everything over. But that's not the problem. COVID revealed this. The problem is apathy. It's apathy in our hearts. You see, the problem's not the world out there. The problem's the heart in here, quite honestly. You see, it's not a lack of revival that we have. It's a lack of reality. God's just not real to us. And if we get right down to it, that's all on us because He's as real to us as we want Him to be. Somebody say amen. If you want to get closer to God, He's wanting to get close to you. If you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. He's ready. He's let us know that. So the thing that COVID revealed is it allowed us to sanctify our personal comfort. And I don't know where you live, but where I live, people like to worship on the couch now. But the thing is, you don't have that benefit of the body building itself that way. You can hear a good sermon. You can hear good music. But it doesn't mean that you're edifying one another. And it doesn't mean that you are being helped, as Bill said, by somebody younger, somebody older, and somebody that's a peer. And so what we see is we lost our pathos, apathetic. It comes from a Greek word, ah, meaning not, and pathos meaning energy. Excitement, passion. That's what. So you're without passion. We've lost our heart for God. And you see, when you do that, your faith is vulnerable. And yes, the church will become weak when we lose our heart for God. The church will, because the church's strength is not that we're here together, it's that we're here with Him. That's the point. That's why we're challenged. And what does the good book tell us? You shall love the Lord your God with a little bit of your heart. Oh, no, no. What is it? All your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Jeremiah the prophet said it so well. And you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with your spare time. No. When you feel like it. No. With all your heart. You see, we have quit seeking God with all our heart. I'm talking to myself today. It's so easy. And I want to talk to you today about having a resilient faith. Now, resilient is not a word that I hear used a lot, but what it means is you can recover. You can bounce back. You can have a disappointment. You can have a distraction. You can have a defeat, but you can come back. Resiliency is that attitude, that heart that allows us to go through the ups and downs of life. Have you ever noticed that life isn't a straight line? We have ups and we have downs. I was talking to some of the people that I do know at the church this morning, and some of them have lost loved ones. And they said, you know, it's been a while, but you don't get over that. You know, I thought I'd get over that quicker. You don't. Because life is not ups. It's a bunch of things, isn't it? It's not always up and to the right, like a profit sheet. We just always want more and better and farther. That's not the way it is. We're walking with Jesus in this life. And what does he tell us? I will be with you always. But then he also says this, when you go through the valley, I'll be there. Amen. And the valley lets you know there's a mountain on the other side. We're going to get high again. And we're going to go again. We're going to see again. Resiliency is a precious possession. And I want to take you, I could take you to any number of characters in the Bible. But I want to take you to one in particular in Acts 26 today. And I hope you'll turn in your Bibles or in your device and we'll get there. But you see, if you don't have resilience, the ups and downs of life will drain you. There was a church that Jesus spoke to, and I'm going to get to Acts 26 in just a moment. But he spoke to a church in Revelation. There was a church in Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. And he said this. He said, I know your deeds. You have done good deeds. I know that you have sound doctrine. He said, I know that you have strong leadership standards. I know that you have all these things. He said, but I've got one thing that is a problem. You've left your first love. Now, we misinterpret that verse. I hear it preached, and I used to preach it myself. It's amazing how when you get as old as I am, you realize, I don't know how God let me keep preaching when I was preaching so much stupid stuff. Because I'm going to tell you why that's true. Your faith, if your faith isn't growing, if your theology isn't growing, you are stagnant. And God wants it to grow. And that means you're going to believe something. Well, I'm going to get to my message. I'm going to get there. But he told that church at Ephesus, he didn't say you've lost your first love. He said you left it. You left it. There's a difference between losing and leaving. We pity a parent who loses a child. I don't have the same feelings for a parent who leaves a child. Yeah, amen. You abandon somebody. You neglect somebody. I don't have the same feeling as if you lose somebody. There's a different feeling. And Jesus said, you've left your first love. And he says, I need to tell you, you need to come back. You need to repent. You need change. Somebody say change. Change. Say it again. Change. It's a word we like to say. We like to receive. Don't you know change isn't a thing anymore at the store? Nobody got any coins anymore. We don't get change. You know, it doesn't happen anymore hardly. But we say change, but we don't do change very well. We like to stay as we are. There's a reason the scriptures tell us, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not neglect. Do not leave. Walk with him. Don't refuse his prompting. Our church is in transition because I'm an old man. And I'm laying down after 25 plus years pastoring that church. I'm going to be stepping out. I announced that a year ago. And some people said, we don't want to go through change. So you know what they did? They changed and they left the church. I said, so you're leaving me before I leave you. I like to play tit for tat on that, you know. Some of them did do that. By the way, you guys back there, is it a rumor by the time it gets to you, this sermon? I hope it's not a rumor by the time it gets back there. Okay, I hope it's there. But these people, these friends who left, we've got others who are staying. And I know I'm going to make some people happy because, you know, every preacher makes everybody happy in a church. You make some people happy when you come. You make some people happy while you're there. And you make the rest of them happy when you leave. So, you know, that's just the way that kind of thing goes. But, you know, we're in a time of transition. And it's been a long 10 months and people are tired and they're going like, what's going to happen? And we don't have the candidate right in place yet. But, you know, God has started doing a miracle. And it's far above anything we would hope or ask. And I'm glad they're not listening to us today, because I can't let the cat out of the bag. But God is at work. So listen, I want to encourage you. When we get into Acts 26, may this message touch your heart today. And before we even get into it, maybe you ought to ask this question. Lord, I'm willing to change. I'm willing to think differently today when I leave. Your pastor said, pray that you'll be different. You won't be different unless you think different. And you won't do different unless you think different. Because you've got to stay the same. So let's say, God, if you teach me something different today, maybe I can get into that. It's a great way to start 2024 year, even though we're already into it. It's not too late to do this. Do I have a resilient faith? Let's go to Acts 26. And I'm going to read the whole chapter, not at one time, but I'm going to read a little bit of it. We're going to talk about it as we go. Okay, you ready? Let's go. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you may speak in your defense. So Paul, gesturing with his hand, started his defense. I'm fortunate, King Agrippa, that you are the one hearing my defense today against all these accusations from the Jewish leaders. I know you're an expert in all Jewish customs and controversies. Now please listen to me patiently. As the Jewish leaders are well aware, I was given a thorough Jewish training from my earliest childhood among my own people, that would have been in Tarsus, and at Jerusalem with Gamaliel. That's just background. If they would admit it, they know that I've been a member of the Pharisees, the strictest sect of our religion. Now I am on trial for my hope in the fulfillment of God's promise made to our ancestors. In fact, that is why the 12 tribes of Israel zealously worship God night and day, and they share the same hope that I have. Yet, Your Majesty, they accuse me for having this hope. Why does it seem incredible to any of you that God can raise the dead? I used to believe that I ought to do everything I could to oppose the very name of Jesus the Nazarene. Indeed, I did that in Jerusalem. Authorized by the leading priest, I caused many believers to be sent to prison. I cast my vote against them, thumbs down, when they were condemned to death. Many times I had them punished in the synagogues to get them to curse Jesus. I was so violently opposed to them that I even chased them down to foreign cities. Does anybody detect from these verses that there is an all-in mentality with this guy named Paul? He said, I fought for everything. I was all in all the time. Before he met Jesus, he was all in. After he met Jesus, he was all in. Paul was not a guy that is like many of us, saying, I'm going to wait and see how it works out. He was not lukewarm, as God spoke to the church in Laodicea. Jesus tells us, I'd rather you be hot or cold. Be all in, whatever you are. Don't be lukewarm. If you do that, I will vomit you out of my mouth. What that means is you're nauseating to God. When we're always lukewarm, I just want to be like this, you know. You see, here's the dangerous thing. The person in most spiritual danger in Vicksburg, Mississippi, or in this church, or in Maryland, you pick it, is not the one who opposes God in his ways. They're not in so much danger. The most dangerous position is when you're sitting on the fence. You're in the middle. Lukewarm. You're not good enough for service to God, and you're not bad enough to be condemned. That's where I just want to be average. I want to be average. When I was a youth pastor, that's been a long time ago, but I had parents tell me, I want my children to be good. Not too good. I don't want to be too good. Don't want to be a fanatic. But I don't want to be too bad. I don't want to get in trouble. I want to be average. And I said, I don't want to be the youth pastor of that kind of youth group. I want to be a pastor, youth pastor of kids who are sold out for Jesus. Somebody say amen. But we don't want to almost be something. I don't want to preach today and almost say something. That's the worst kind of sermon in the world. What did he say? Well, he almost said this. I hope you know what I'm saying when I'm finished today. We don't want to almost be there. You see, I would tell them, I said, that's horrible advice for your children, for your young people. You were not made for almost. You're made to live for God. We're made to be all in. We're not made all in. It doesn't mean all in doesn't mean preacher, all in doesn't mean missionary. It means all in, and whatever you do, you're all in. Paul said, whatever I eat or whatever I drink, I do it all to the glory of God. It's all good. You should have seen me eating after the party yesterday. I went all in. And you can see it. You can see that. And here's what I would tell those parents. I said, don't let your kids sit on the fence. It's a dangerous place to be. When did Jonah get on the right track? When he was going all in on running from God. And that's right when he ran into God. Amen. When did the apostle, he says it right here, I was on my way to Damascus, man. When did he run into God? When he was going to try to crash out the name of Jesus Christ. When did the prodigal son realize he needed to go home? When he was all in on running from dad. Now see, we've taught people, just stay in the middle. It doesn't reveal your heart. And actually, it does reveal your heart that we're really not in. Amen. Now, here's the thing. Paul is there, and he says, I'm all in. Now, here's the thing. When you're sitting on the fence, you don't see a need for change because I'm average. I'm neutral. Not lukewarm. 1 Kings, I love the passage where Elijah calls the nation of Israel to meet at Mount Carmel. And he's there against all the priests of Baal. And he gives this statement. He said, listen, you need to choose today. How long will you vary between two opinions? Either God's God or he's not. He said, if Baal is God, worship Baal. But say it. Don't just let it exist. But if Yahweh is God, worship Yahweh. He said, so choose. And you know what it says? And the people answered not a word. That's King James. The people answered not a word. They just stayed quiet. Classic sitting on the fence. Paul was the only one with an all-in mentality. I mean, Elijah was the only one with an all-in mentality. Now, Paul was likely motivated by that very thing. And he went after Christ as hard as he could. Because that was different than he had been taught. That's different than he believed the Scriptures taught. And matter of fact, he is kind of right about that because Jesus was very different than what they thought he was going to be. But he was not different than what the Scriptures said he was going to be. They had to have a better understanding of the Scriptures. Jesus fulfilled the Scriptures. He came to show them, this is the thing, not the way you're looking. You don't gain righteousness by keeping a law. You get it by trusting in the God who gave the Word to us. You see, I want to say it one more time. The apostle was probably the one, and you know he was all in. He's the one that watched the coats while Stephen was being stoned. He probably cast his vote, and then he watched the coats. He was going to cast death ballots on other people. Now, while opposing all that was that he had within him, something happened. He ran into Jesus. Now, here's the beautiful thing. Jesus' center is everywhere. You can't go somewhere where Jesus is not central. His circumference is nowhere. You can't go to a place where he's not. So what we realize now matters. He's right here with us right now. He's right with you right now. He's either in your heart or he's wanting to get there. He's right here right now. So Paul says, you know what? I want to be all in. Now let's keep reading. He says, I used to believe that I ought to do everything I could to oppose the name of Jesus. Indeed, I did this in Jerusalem, authorized by the leading priest. Did I read that a while ago? No. All right. Many times I had them persecuted in the synagogue. And what he did, and this is so incredible, he said, I'm calling you to be a servant and a witness. Let's just begin reading in verse 14. We all fell down, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's useless for you to fight against my will. Who are you, Lord, I asked. And the Lord said, I am Jesus that you are persecuting. Get on your feet. I've appeared to you to appoint you my servant and my witness. Tell the people you have seen me and tell them what I will show you in the future. I will rescue both from your people and from the Gentiles. And I'm sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. They will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith in me. In the middle of running away from Jesus, Saul runs right into him. And he's changed. That's a picture of repentance. So Paul did not only have a very strong all-in mentality, he had an expanding faith. His faith was getting shattered so that it might get bigger. The wineskin that he had had the truth contained in was going to have to stretch and get a new wineskin. It couldn't hold what he was going to say. So here's the thing. His faith expanded. I want to give you three things it expanded to. His faith expanded to believe what he never dared believe before. He was going to believe something different. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" He was growing from believing that God was Yahweh alone and could not be human. He didn't think that Jesus was, he didn't think Jesus was God, because he said God can't do that. God is too great for that. He grew from believing in a God that is up there to a God who is right here. He realized that God was bigger and different than he had ever been taught. "I am Jesus. Get on your feet. You're about to do something for me. I'm calling you. I want you to walk with me, and I want to work with me and my mission." Paul's faith expanded to see who Jesus was and what he wanted. Now, you and I need to be able to say this, "Lord, anything." That's what Paul said, basically. "Lord, what do you want? Anything. Show me, and I'm in." What he was really saying is, when he called Jesus Lord, "I'm committed to you before I know what you're asking." Now, that takes real faith. We don't like it that way. We want to say, "Lord, tell me what you want, and I'll decide if I want to do it."
Yeah.
Yeah. That's humanism. That's you being on the throne. You tell me what you want, and if I want to do it, I'll do it. That's not Christianity. Christianity said, "Lord, I'll do it, whatever you ask." Somebody say amen. You say, that's scary. Faith always has a risk to it, always. There's never a time faith doesn't have a risk. If you give your life to Jesus, when you say, "Jesus, I give you my life," there is a risk that maybe he's not going to do that, because maybe he's not really God. But he is God. You're putting your faith in God. But there's always risk. What if he doesn't come through when you pray? "But I want to pray for healing." But what if he doesn't heal? Pray and leave it to him. He has a power. He has a power. I've had people say, "I just can't get free of this." I said, "You can't get free of this because you won't believe Jesus can set you free of that. Confess that he sets you free and you'll be free indeed. And you won't believe how I've seen that happen." We've seen people healed. We've seen God do major things. And it's because we will say, "Lord, tell us what." Now, sometimes God says, "I want you to stay where you are." I lost my hearing about 9 years ago in my right ear. Sudden idiopathic hearing loss. Just bam. And I had more people say, "We want to pray over you." And I said, "God told me to be content with where I am." Yeah, I love your prayers for healing, but you know what? If God heals, it's fine. But if he doesn't, I'm cool. He's with me. It's enough. And I've got one good ear. I'm glad he didn't take my tongue, because I only got one of those. God never gave me the gift of tongues. The Lord knows I prayed for it. I wanted all the God I could get. Man of the Jesus movement, I said, "Lord, give me every gift you can give me." He said, "I'm not giving you gifts of tongues. You use the one you have too much." And so anyway, he didn't give me another one. But what we have to understand, Paul said, "Lord, I will follow." Look, Trinity Church would change immediately. Immediately. We would walk out of here different, Pastor, if we said, "Lord, I'm all in. Tell me what, and I'll do it." What do you mean, tithe? What do you mean, share with my neighbor? What do you mean, love that rascal at work? What do you mean? Tell me what to do, Lord, and I'll do it. Love that husband I got? Are you kidding? Love that child I've got that sometimes I wonder, I don't know if they're a gift from you or somewhere else. Life is hard. Somebody say yes. It's up and down. We need to have a faith that expands to whatever our need is, because that's where God is, because God is. Paul had a faith to believe things he never dared believe. Faith. This is an important line here. Faith is not a doctrine to believe. Faith is not a doctrine to believe. It's a dynamic to do that the world is longing to see. My mentor in faith, Manly Beasley, taught me. He said, "Danny, you're praying about faith all wrong." And he said, "By the way, I wouldn't go across the street to see you do something for God, because I was praying that God would use me and do something through." He said, "I wouldn't go across the street to see God do something for you, but I will go around the world to see And you do something for God, excuse me. And he said, I wouldn't go across the street to see you do something for God, but I'd go around the world to see God do something for you. You and I long to have God do something in our life that we can't explain. It's bigger than us. It's better than us. It's more than us. You see, Paul had a faith to believe what he never dared, but he also had a faith to do what he never dared to do. He said, I want you to be a servant, and I want you to be a witness. Paul had always been served. He was a Pharisee. He was the guy that when he walked into the synagogue, they said, "Hoo, hoo, hoo." They loved him. They would give you some wine, give you some drink. He said, no, I'm going to be a servant. And Paul became a tent maker. He said, I'll earn my own way. All these things. He said, I'm a servant. And then he says, I will also be a witness. Now, Paul wasn't good at being a witness because Paul was an expert. An expert's like to tell you what they know. And Paul said, I was an expert in the law. He said, I knew the law. I was a true blue Jew. He said, I was from the tribe of Benjamin. Man, I was raised under Gamaliel. I know the law. And he loved to tell you he knew the law. You know, there's a lot of people that quote a lot of Bible that don't have a lot of Jesus. Yeah. Reading the Bible will not change your life and save you. Doing it will. Amen. I don't know. You're not old enough to remember. Some of you are. There's a guy named Nikita Khrushchev. If you know Nikita Khrushchev, raise your hand. If you know who that was. Yeah, he was a premier of Russia back in the day, the Soviet Union. And Nikita Khrushchev used to love to say, when they say, well, we believe in God, he said, I've read your book, and he would quote them the Sermon on the Mount. He says, and he'd quote it, all 92 verses, Sermon on the Mount. And he'd say, I don't believe it. You believe a worthless book. Now, I know that's not true. He wasn't willing to do the book. Do the word Jesus said do. You see, you and I have to have faith not only to believe what we need to believe, but to do what we need to do. And even bigger than that, Paul had a faith to reach people he never thought he ought to reach. He said, I go to the Jew and the Gentile. He didn't think the Jews needed reaching. They were God's chosen people. He said, but now I go to the synagogue to tell them Messiah's come. And I'm getting in trouble for doing that. And then he says, and then I go to the Gentiles. And we don't think they deserve to get in. The Jews don't need to get in. The Gentiles don't they don't deserve to get in. He said, I'm changing all that. Everybody needs Jesus. Somebody say amen to that. You see, I love churches that are intergenerational. And I need to say this today. This is important. Because I didn't know what Trinity looked like today. I'm glad to see you have some young people in your church. Somebody say amen. Amen. I'm glad to see you have some good seniors that are probably not as old as my mom, but they're close. I don't know if mom's a matriarch or not, but I mean, you know, if you're over 90, hello. Anyway, that's interesting. But listen, intergenerational, multicultural, different levels. It's good to see a church represent culture, where the culture is being changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're seeing His goodness. Churches ought to be houses of love where everybody is welcome. And what we say to everybody, we're glad you're here today. And not just the preacher to say it. We all believe and want to do that. Your church ought to be known, needs to be known as the most welcoming church in town. That's huge. Because they'll know that we're Christians by our love. Yeah. Paul, expanding faith, all in heart. Let's finish out by saying this. He had a determined obedience. I love what it says in verse 19. And so, King Agrippa, I obeyed the vision from heaven. I preached first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, throughout all Judea and the Gentiles, that they must repent of their sins and turn to God, to prove they've been changed by the good things they do. Some Jews arrested me in the temple for preaching this. They tried to kill me. But God has protected me right up to this present time so that I can testify that everyone, from the least to the greatest, I teach nothing except what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer, be the first to rise from the dead, and in this way announce God's light to the Jews and to the Gentiles alike. Paul obeyed the vision God gave him. Now, do you know what that vision was? It's the Great Commission. He said, I started first where I was in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, then in all Judea, and then I went to the Gentiles. He said, I'm doing what Jesus said do. Now, he didn't hear Jesus say that at the Great Commission, but he was doing what Jesus called us to do. What he was saying is, I tell everyone I can, wherever I can, however I can, that Jesus is Lord. So he said, if I'm in a hobby that I'm in, I let people know that Jesus is good. He's Lord. He's worth it. So I can do it wherever I go, whether I'm being beaten, whether I'm being persecuted myself, whether I'm being put in prison, whether I'm going through a shipwreck. You know, whatever I do, Jesus is with me. Nothing could stop Paul. He had a resilient faith. And you know, here's the thing. When our faith is resilient, it applies everywhere. You see, there's nowhere that our faith is not good. Everything is sanctified. Whether I eat or drink, whether I live or die, wherever I go, I want to honor God. You see, Paul could eat with the Gentiles. Now, he was raised, you never eat with the Gentiles. Eating for them was the most intimate thing you could do outside of marriage. You break bread with somebody, you're saying, I'm sharing life with you. Jews would not do that with Gentiles. Matter of fact, Peter had trouble doing that. If you read the book of Galatians, Paul had to rebuke him. Barnabas even got swept away in that. But Paul said, no, 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 we do this. Peter said, and they started out thinking, you've got to become a Jew to become a Christian. And God taught Paul in Acts 10, and then he and Paul carried that out, that no, Jesus is for everybody. Aren't you glad we don't have to become Jews to become a Christian? Yeah, yeah. And I mean, for all the men, I mean, we'd say, wait a minute, you've got to be circumcised first. Now, if you hadn't been, you've got to go like, I don't know about that. And that's what they were saying. It's got to happen. Wow. And Paul said, that's not the thing. He said, it's the hearts. So, finishing out, where's our heart today? Because what Paul did, he said, everywhere I go, I can be sanctified in whatever I do. I'm so glad that today I'm going to eat with my mom and my family. And Jesus is going to be there. Amen. It's not because we got a room that says, Jesus.
I'm know what you want to do today, but I just have done what you want me to do today. So I ask you right now, Lord, be with Trinity Church people. People I've grown to just get to know a little bit by looking into their eyes, and I see in some of their hearts. And I just pray in your name, work your word. Let us ask the question. Lord, am I willing to say yes before I know what you're going to say? Am I willing to say, Lord, I'm all in? In me. I'm willing to say, Lord, grow my faith, even to hurts. I'm willing to say, Lord, sometimes I wonder. I want to say yes, Lord. Father, give us that today. And lead this good church in your ways. In Christ's name. Amen. I don't know your pattern here, but it's the same. The altar's open for prayer. We do what Jesus asks you to do. And do what we do.
Mike, come to lead us in this invitation time. And if God spoke it into your heart, just respond to a yes. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Mike, will you?
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. The altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind you. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. The altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Aren't you glad somebody said, hey, let's go to church this morning, amen?
Amen.
Man, so grateful. Thank you, Dan, for the word this morning. Thank you. Thank God for resilient faith. Paul, that you and I might be challenged this morning to have resilient faith out there, amen?
Amen.
I'm telling you, faith is not easy. It's difficult. And listen, we all struggle with it. Pray God strengthen us. As the apostles pray, Lord, help us with our unbelief. Amen?
Amen.
And hey, listen, we're so grateful. Just want you to know that tonight we will resume our small group times tonight. So I want to encourage you to come and be a part of that. In your worship guide, there's those groups that are there. Bill and Sandy's group will continue to be. Scott and Clellan's got a group that will be starting tonight. It's a new study on holy habits. How to spend time in God's Word. How to do those things to help us in our faith. I'll be starting a new group tonight as well called Table Talks. Just how to, you know, Jesus was good about just getting around the table and having a meal with people and talking and sharing. We're even going to have some recipes to share. So if you're into that kind of thing, just like to do table talk, come hang out with us. My group, the other groups will be in their regular places in this part of the building. The group that I'll be leading will be in this building. You go through these doors right here and down the hall. As soon as you start down the hall, there's a doorway that goes up the stairs, and we'll be upstairs. When you come up the top of the stairs, you'll see our room there, and we'll be up there tonight. And so I want to encourage you to come before that. Brother Chris has a class meeting up starting tonight as well, so they'll be in this building as well. So come at 5 o'clock. There'll be something for you. So come and spend some time in small group discussion and just to encourage one another, pray with one another, share life together with one another as well. So I encourage you to come. 5 o'clock tonight. Okay? I think the weather will be okay. It'll be cold, but I think it'll be okay. I know some of you are thinking, man, I wish we didn't have all this cold weather, but, you know, Danny and them from Maryland, and we just wanted them to feel at home, and we ordered this just so that they would feel at home, right? So we're thankful for these guys. Hey, I want Danny and Ben, y'all come right up here. And I want Miss Louise to come up here with me. I want all of them to just come up here and stand. I know that many of you want to come by and just tell them how much you appreciate them and tell Miss Louise happy birthday. And so rather than you having to chase them down, we'll just have them right here and you can find them. Right?
You didn't tell me how to do this.
You said on us before, please. I was wrong. Leave your sticks and clubs.
That's right. Come love on them with that. But man, it's been good. It's been good. Thank you so much, brother. Appreciate you.
Thank you,
brother. No, thank you, man. Hey, Mike, let's sing something this morning as we're just saying. What are we going to sing?
God.
Yes.
To God.